You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Quiet in the man cave, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Yours truly here in the man cave. Some of the backroom guys are here as well. My thanks to them. We had quite a bit of snow, and Danettes have a little bit of a commute, so they're at their homes right now. We're going to have burgers, I think steaks and sausages or brats coming up this morning. I got a fire outside. The Traegers are fired up. Maybe some snow beers later on. And I don't have to talk to Todd during the commercial breaks.
You don't. It's a beautiful day for you.
What a great day. Paulie found out that we were going to have maybe some brats and burgers. He goes, well, maybe I'll drive in. I go, yeah, come on in after the show. I'll wait for you.
It's worth the risk. I mean, bratwurst versus risking my life, it's a coin flip.
Sunday night, the push for the playoffs continues. Baker Mayfield Jr. III and the Browns head to New York to take on the G-Men. Sunday night, 7 Eastern only on NBC. Coming up, Justin Tucker of the Ravens will join us. It looks like NFL and their TV deals with the networks and Amazon could surpass $100 billion. I'll have that story for you coming up as well. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. National Signing Day was yesterday, and the rich got richer. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, all in there. Alabama and their head coach, Nick Saban, he'll join us coming up next hour. Got the showdown with Florida coming up on Saturday night. I was looking back. I think this is National Signing Day 2015. And these are just the quarterbacks back then. Number one quarterback in the country, Jarrett Stidham. Number two was Josh Rosen. Blake Barnett was number three. Kyler Murray, four. Brandon Wimbush. He went to Notre Dame, then lost his job to Ian Book. Ricky Town is on there. Brady White is on there. Travis Johnson. Who else is? Drew Locke is on here as the 10th best quarterback. Jake Browning went to Washington. Sam Darnold's on here. So you do have some pretty good quarterbacks here, or at least quarterbacks who are still playing. Lamar Jackson is the 18th best quarterback on this list. Brett Rippon is on here as well. Let me see if there's anybody else that you might be familiar with. Kelly Bryant is on here. But when it comes to these five-star recruits, you know, you can say, hey, we got them, but then they have to – they're a five-star recruit coming out of high school doesn't translate into a five-star, you know, five-star success once they get to college because things change. And we'll talk to Nick Saban about this. When you recruit now, you're recruiting somebody who has social media, has grown up being the star, being told they're the star, and usually not being told no or you did something wrong. And if they have been, then how do you process that? That's the big difference that coaches will talk about. It's telling a kid they did something wrong and how they accept that. And who wants to be great? You know, once you get to a certain level, now is when it really starts. You get to college, hey, I'm a five-star recruit. Yeah, now it starts. Just like, you know, you hit the reset button, it starts when you get to the NFL. Hey, I was All-American. All right. Now it starts. Who wants to get better? And I think those are things that, you know, Coach Saban, some of these other coaches, you're trying to see that in a 17 or 18-year-old's eyes. Can you take criticism, and do you want to be great? 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow, live on Peacock all 3 hours, Fox Sports Radio lineup as well. Tonight, Chargers and the Raiders. James Harden met with the media yesterday, and I'm guessing, you know, this is a requirement so he doesn't get fined and the Rockets don't get fined. And here is a question to James Harden when he met with the media yesterday.
Do you still want the Rockets to trade you? And if so, why?
Right now I'm just focused on being here. Today was good. Yesterday felt really good being out there, you know, the first time and since the bubble. I haven't really had an opportunity to do a lot of 5-on-5 work, but for my first time being out there, I think I felt pretty good. So,
all right. And then he was asked, I thought that's a fair question. He avoided the question, but you have to ask that question. And then there was this question about these road trips to Atlanta and Las Vegas.
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas when training camp was starting?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
Started the NBA season.
How did going to Atlanta and Vegas help you there when the Rockets were starting training camp in Houston?
Just my personal trainers.
There's a point in there that is so good. What were you training for? Because the word is that James would go to Vegas and Atlanta, and maybe he's training, but he might have been training at night because they have great strip clubs there. when you're dishing dimes, it's an assist. I think he's making it rain. Like, that's what he's doing. He's dishing some dimes there when he goes to the strip clubs there. Yeah, Paulie.
I love when the reporters ask a snarky question, but they do it in that like monotone. James, if you wanted to train, there's a basketball team called the Houston Rockets that you're employed by, and you could train here anytime you want. What's going on there?
Atlanta and Las Vegas. That's where his trainers are. But all right.
If there was an NBA team in Vegas, they should have the rights to James Harden. He would love it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anything is going to change with James. I think he's just going to go. He'll play. He'll still get his 30, whatever. He'll get his 30. My only thought is, if I'm the Rockets, I can only hope that we play well and that he enjoys playing with Boogie Cousins and John Wall. That's my only hope. And then maybe he wants to stay and honor his contract. And if not, all right, now we look and see who we can get from Philadelphia. He's not going to Milwaukee. Maybe Miami. Maybe Brooklyn. Maybe. I don't know. But it's a story that's going to stay. It'll be on the front burner here because every single night is going to be a referendum on James Harden. And does he want to stay there in Houston? Poll question, McLovin, from the first hour.
Okay, the first hour was, if you were the top recruit quarterback, which school would you want to go to? Alabama actually edges Clemson in the updated poll results. I want to change to this Houston topic. Question for you, which of the three pro franchises has had the roughest stretch? The Rockets, the Texans, or the Astros? All have their pros and cons. But now the Rockets are in trouble.
Well, at least I won a World Series with the Astros, and I don't have to give it back. And if I'm a player, I get to move on with my career. The Rockets, always, fun and competitive during the regular season, and then they usually bow out, first or second round. Texans, that's a mess. That's been a mess. I would say the Texans, just because it always feels like if they make the playoffs, they play at noon on Saturday. Like the worst start because nobody wants to watch the Texans play. The Rockets, until I know who they get in return for James Harden, starting over would be a good thing. But if that's the case, starting over and then saying to your star players, we're running the team, not you. Because the Rockets created James Harden. They created this attitude, this persona. They enabled him. And now they want to go, hey, you can't dictate what's going on here, or you can't be tardy all the time, or dictate if you want to go to practice or not, or when the plane leaves. Now, he's not the only star that does this, but it felt like that put Russell Westbrook over the edge. He's like, we're dealing with like an organized AAU team, and you can't be that kind of team. James Harden plays hard. He does. Sometimes too hard during the regular season, and then he's dragging in the postseason. But that style doesn't fit every team that he might go to. If I'm Miami, if I'm Jimmy Butler, and you go, how am I going to be with James Harden? Because if that's the case, and you get Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero, let's just say, now you got these players, and it's their team, and then they're going to go, okay, James is coming in. I don't think James is going to go back to his Oklahoma City days when he's a sixth man. But I don't know what happens if he goes to Brooklyn. He's not going to Milwaukee. Greek Freak's not going to. The fact that the Greek Freak passed on James Harden when they were picking their all-star team so he could take Kemba Walker because he said, I want somebody to throw me the ball. That should tell you everything about that. you know, maybe there's a surprise team. It feels like there always is in situations like this. Like Gordon Hayward going to Charlotte. We're like, oh, wow, he's going to Charlotte. You know, when Kyrie went to Boston, we're like, wow, he's going to Boston. Maybe there's an outlier. Maybe there's a mystery team here with James Harden. Yes, McLovin.
Side poll question. If you're Lewis Riddick with ESPN and who interviewed with the Texans and is reportedly interviewing with the Lions, which of those two jobs is a better spot right now?
News leaked out yesterday that the ESPN broadcaster, Lewis Riddick, he does Monday night, would interview with the Texans for their GM job and also the Lions. He was in the Eagles front office. And I even said it after the interview yesterday. It felt like, feels like he's destined to, you know, get a job here soon in the front office of a team. Now, he could stay Monday Night Football. You know, Jason Witten left Monday Night Football to return as a player. But if he didn't, I don't think he was going to hold on to that job. Before that, John Gruden, you know, he had that job. Then he left for the Raiders job. Troy Aikman has said, you know, for the last couple of years, he wants to be an executive in the NFL. Tony Romo, I think he wants to play golf, but he's a good analyst. But Lewis Riddick could have some interesting choices ahead and a good chance that he could be the next person to leave the Monday night booth. And if you get that opportunity to help build a team, and this is what he's always wanted to do, I certainly understand that. Because it still feels like that Monday night team is tenuous. Steve Levy, Brian Griese, and Lewis Riddick. It feels like if there were a couple of big names available, that they would probably Bigfoot them. That's always been the feeling that I've gotten. I don't have a source on this at the mothership, but it feels like, you know, Griese and Steve Levy worked on college football, and they worked well as a team. Lewis Riddick, bringing him in as well, smart, opinionated, and it's just a better-sounding booth than you had before. But Jason Witten should never have been put in the Monday night booth. Never. I don't know how you could hear an audition and go, yep, going to put him in there. You know, Booger McFarland was more advanced in that situation, and you put him on the Boogermobile. He wasn't even allowed in the booth because of Witten's contract, where he was the only guy in the booth. But it feels like Herb Street and Fowler are going to end up doing Monday Night Football, or if something happens with ABC. And I mentioned this. This is according to Andrew Marchant of the New York Post. NFL's monster TV deals with networks and Amazon could surpass $100 billion. Total value, this according to the New York Post. Nobody wants Thursday night. CBS, Fox, NBC, ESPN, they don't want Thursday night. Amazon may take over Thursday night. But the NFL, you know, this looks like it could be a 10-year deal. And, you know, I think that ABC Sports, you know, maybe ABC gets a Super Bowl. ESPN / ABC gets a Super Bowl there. But that's a whole lot of money here. The current deal approaches $10 billion a year in broadcast revenue. ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC, DirecTV have contracts that add up to nearly $8 billion per season. But this is a 10-year deal, and they're looking at $100 billion. Apple is another possibility here, according to the New York Post. Amazon has the advantage of already being partners with the NFL. It owns the digital rights to Thursday Night Football. Those games also air on NFL Network. That's part of the issue. Nobody wants Thursday Night Football, or at least not at that price, because it's not exclusive. You're sharing it with NFL Network. And these partners are saying, well, let us have Thursday Night Football. And which I, you know, it's like, hey, it's on Fox, but also the NFL Network. All right. Seems counterproductive, but maybe they're taking bites of two apples there. But I never understood that. You're going to pay all that money for game. I would love for them to get rid of Thursday night games. I don't know if they will, but I would love for them to get rid of Thursday night football, to be fair to the players, because it's rare when a Thursday is a really good game. But if you want to do a Monday doubleheader, that would be far more entertaining and interesting for me than you want to do a 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock. That, to me, would be more fair to these players than that Thursday game. I think that's – they've never been fair to the players to have a game, have a day off, maybe practice, travel, play a game. Yeah, Seton.
I'm going to guess that Thursday night game is adding a lot of those zeros into the $100 billion you just mentioned.
So. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. A couple of phone calls here. We'll talk to Justin Tucker, the Ravens kicker, and then in an hour from now, Nick Saban will take time out from his preparations for the game against Florida coming up on Saturday night. Jeff in Detroit joins us on the program. Good morning, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Big Dan. How's everything going with you today, sir? Listen, I'm sure it was just by pure coincidence that the picture that you guys posted of James Harden yesterday just happened to be from Double XL magazine. Please tell me it was a coincidence. Please tell me. Listen, with James Harden in the current situation, it's like letting the inmates run the same asylum. It's almost as crazy as giving $226 million to a guy that you don't know. And if there's one thing that I've learned from you, Dan, is understanding if you want to play the game. Do you love the game? You asked Trevor yesterday. It's okay to say you want it. When you come back and you tell your fan base, this wasn't the year for us to win. I don't think it was the championship or bust year. I'm not giving you $226 million, Paul George. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Well, in fairness to Paul George, I don't think he got 226. I think he got like 195, Jeff. But thank you for the phone call. Jeff in Milwaukee, then we'll take a break. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I'll tie in Harden with what you were asking about yesterday with Giannis. Giannis staying is good thing is a good thing for the NBA because we have enough drama in the league, whether it's the manufactured nonsense with LeBron, crazy Kyrie, especially Harden. Giannis is good for actual basketball, and we need that from time to time. And I was also wondering why you thought Harden would be a good soldier when a guy is going out to different cities to party than where they actually travel, proves practice schedules, has a jersey in the rafters of a strip club. That doesn't necessarily say team player to me.
Well, I don't know. I thought he might be a good soldier so he could behind the scenes say, look, I'm going to do everything that you want me to do, but I want out of here. Instead of, I'm going to come in, I might be out of shape, and I'm not going to be a good soldier. I'm just going to go out there and play. And I'll fulfill my duties, I'll talk to the media, but I won't say anything. I thought that maybe they would be able to approach it like that. And maybe they still can, but it doesn't feel like it's going to end well there in Houston. And in fairness to James Harden, he's not the only one who goes to strip clubs and lives the lifestyle that he does. I mean, there are other players, there are other people who do this. It's just James Harden has never hidden the fact that that's part of who he is and what he does. I can't argue with what he does during the regular season. I mean, that's his style. You've enabled his style. He loves to shoot. He's the most unstoppable scorer that I've seen in a long time. I don't want him on my team. I love watching him. And when it comes to the playoffs, they usually bow out early. Now, does he go to a team that already has stars? And how does he act? What happens when things don't go his way? That's what would make me really nervous about James Harden. He's had his way for 8 years. He got to decide if Kevin McHale stayed on as head coach. He got to decide if Chris Paul was going to stay in Houston. He got to decide if they wanted Russell Westbrook. Now he goes to another team and he doesn't get to decide anything. That plane leaves when they, you know, everybody else wants it to leave. Film study starts when the team says it starts. There's practice for everybody. Like, that's what would really concern me. James Harden has to understand this can get me out of Houston, but how does that affect the team that I might be going to? Because they might go, and I would, do I want this? Because I don't even know what I'm getting here. If I'm Miami, a young, structured team, played well, great team chemistry, and I bring that in. If I go to Brooklyn, I'm not the star. It's Kyrie's team, right? And then it's KD's team. And then I'm there's the third guy. Am I okay with that? Those are the questions that I would have. Absolutely. All right, more phone calls coming up. Justin Tucker, the Ravens kicker, who is headed to the Hall of Fame. By the way, man, we're going to have quite a morning feast here. Just me and the backroom guys. Got the burgers. Got some brats. Got the fire burning, snow. It's a wonderful. I feel like Jimmy Stewart, and it's a wonderful life. Mario Zadio. That's what I said when I walked in today. And the only person there to greet me was the big German. But it was okay. I threw myself into his arms, and I said, I'm home. So. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Justin Tucker right after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, Sleep number. You know what I did last night? I dropped it down to 75.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, but the bed is heated, so snow is falling. The end of the bed gets heated. They got everything there. They got a light. They got lights on the side, so, you know, you get up in the middle of the night, you come back, you're not banging into anything. They thought of everything. I can raise the bed if I want to. I raised the roof, but I can...
Was that safe for you to go from 100 to 75 so fast? I thought you got to kind of go gradually.
No.
You're okay.
I think I'm okay.
Okay.
I mean, look at the amount of energy I got today.
You have a crazy amount of energy.
I got a great night's sleep, Tom. I'm the envy of the neighborhood. I truly am. I think there are people, when they see me come outside and I'm skipping, I'm getting the newspaper, they're like, oh, damn Patrick. And then I just say, another great night's sleep.
What's that guy so happy about?
The Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Save up to $700 on that, plus special financing. You can check out at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. More phone calls coming up. Nick Saban will join us coming up next hour. There are a lot of reasons to like Justin Tucker. He is going to go into the Hall of Fame. He's clutch, and he's a winner. He's got great hair, and he's also a Traeger guy. So there's a lot of things to love about Justin Tucker, the Ravens place kicker who joins us on the program. Good morning, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for that was quite the intro. Much appreciated, especially with the hair thing.
Yeah.
I actually spent some time on it this morning.
Do you do your hair before a game?
Before the COVID era, it was a consideration, but now I kind of just let the beard go, and I haven't got a haircut in quite a while now because I'm trying to avoid close contacts with as many people as possible. So, about a year ago, I was thinking, okay, well, I mean, if I'm standing next to Morgan and Sam and Randy during the national anthem, you know, like those are sweet pictures that we want to have. So, you know, got to make sure the wig is tight, but this year, not really that as concerned.
Explain to me, if I've never kicked a field goal before and you wanted to teach me how to kick a field goal, where do we start?
I think, you got to start with probably the most important principle in all sports that involve a ball. Keep your eye on the ball. It's a common theme in baseball, tennis, soccer, football. So what I said the other night after the game, to just trying to keep it as simple as possible in the moments where so many things can be going through your head, you just got to see the ball to kick the ball.
But you could kick blindfold.
It starts with as simple as that.
You could kick blindfold, right?
I don't know if I could kick blindfolded with nearly as much confidence or accuracy and power as if I'm not blindfolded. But I know it's possible. I've seen Pat McAfee hit like a 40-something yarder. Set a Guinness World Record several years ago kicking blindfolded. So I'll leave the trick shots to the guys who are better at those.
Wait a minute, that's the Guinness record of 40 yards?
It's 40 something, and I'm pretty sure Pat has the record. So, shout out to Pat McAfee and, always doing it for the brand, but I'm pretty sure he has a Guinness World Record.
Well, why don't you go out this afternoon when this is over with and just blow him out of the books? I mean, come on.
It's a little snowy out here in
Wait, Owens you don't Mills, have a Maryland. Practice indoor practice facility?
Oh, well, that's no fun. It's not, you know, I mean, if it's pouring down snow, you got to, like, you know, get out in it. So
I still like your chances, even in the snow. explain to me how Deion Sanders became your, I don't know, idol. Is that fair to say?
He was definitely one of my favorite players growing up as a little guy. So I grew up in Austin, Texas, and my family would always watch the Cowboys on Sunday afternoons. And I just love, like, the swag and, like, this, you know, the attitude that Prime brought to the game. I think everybody can appreciate that about Prime. So, when I was in like first, second, third grade, we'd play football at recess, and I would always have, like, my Cowboys do-rag bandana tied up, and I would always play defense. So, like, I would try to pick off as many passes as I could, return as many punts as I could in that 30-minute recess break, and then hit the water fountain on the way in like it was nobody's business. But
what happens, though? You get to the point where you're a kicker. Like, does it feel like it's a demotion that you know, defensive back, or maybe you want to play wide receiver, and then you're a kicker, and you know how the other players are going to label you, or at least see you're a kicker. How did you feel?
No, not at all. That was never a concern or a consideration of mine. I mean, maybe I'm wired a little different, but I was never really concerned about any of my teammates or coaches viewing me differently because of the position I play. Like, that's, to me, that's one of the coolest things about the sport of football, is you have so many different types of athletes, probably the widest array of types of athletes on the field at any given time compared to any other sport. So, you know, in basketball, it's, you know, in all likelihood, it's taller athletes.
Oh, he froze up. Something he never does on the field.
Or he's making us think about his comments.
Well, I know. He had me, because I'm going, okay, all right.
His last comment was that
Wait, you froze up. You.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. I'm in my basement right next to the modem. I should have pretty good Wi-Fi.
What's in the basement?
So this is kind of our catch-all room right now. A previous homeowner used this room as his office, but I don't really have much practical use for your traditional office. But right now we've got, you know, just like a sofa in here. And then let's see, I got my guitar, has got an amp. Ooh. That's not my drum set. That's my 4-year-old son's drum set. Oh, we got a, just like a TV on the ground, a trampoline.
What can you play?
I mean, I can carry a tune. I'm not really.
No, you can sing. I know that. Can you fire up the amp there?
I could. I mean, yeah. You really want me to?
Yep. Let's fire it up here. I know you can sing, but let's. I just froze the kicker. You're never supposed to freeze the kicker, and I just froze Justin Tucker, and he's going to come through here. Now, once again, a full reset, as we like to say in the business. The Ravens 8-5, and right now half game back. The wild card number 3 Dolphins in the tie-breaking department. Justin Tucker, who is a future Hall of Famer, joining us on the program from his basement with his guitar. All right, let me see.
That's all I got for you, Dan.
What's your go-to?
I'm not really I'm more of like a rhythm, like kind of rhythm kind of guitarist. And then, you know, I try to rip some sweet vocals over that. But I mean, like I like 80s hair metal type of stuff, you know, and then I like Third Eye Blind, like post, you know, post grunge, like 90s era, like Nirvana type of stuff.
Okay. If you had a walk up song when you went out to kick, what would you pick?
That's a tough one. Off the top of my head, maybe Hungry Like the Wolf, you know, because we got the whole Wolf Pack out there, Morgan Cox, Sam Cooke, and myself. I mean, plus that song is just like...
Not many people pick Duran Duran as their walk-up song, but well done by you. Does Harbaugh ever say anything to you before you go out for a potential game-winning kick?
Typically, no one says anything to me. And I kind of prefer it that way. I mean, I'm kind of in my own little world for, you know, the 30 some odd seconds leading up to a, you know, especially an important kick, like at the end of the game. I kind of just am alone with my thoughts and kind of getting myself focused and in the zone, if you will. And then, every once in a while, someone will come up to me and say something, and then I usually forget whatever it was that they said immediately, and then, you know, just go out there and try my best to make the kick. But no, if anybody is gonna say something to me, it's usually Randy Brown, our kicking coach. It won't be like right before the kick, but it'll be, you know, first or second down, and he'll say. It's usually just like nuts and bolts type of stuff. It's like, all right, we got a pretty significant right to left win. Just play that ball in the right third, right quarter, let it come back and just hit your ball, man. And it's, you know, really nothing too, you know, revolutionary by any means, but, you know, just hearing something as simple as that kind of reminds me not to overthink it, not to get too, emotionally attached to whatever's happening or whatever will happen after my foot hits the ball. The only thing that really matters is the 1.3 seconds between when Morgan throws it back, when Sam spots it, and when I kick it. And it's just, you know, seeing the ball and hitting the ball.
You have 6 career tackles. What's the best one? Because McAfee used to try to blow people up. Do you blow people up?
I would say none of them, because if I'm having to make a tackle, that's that's usually indicative of I didn't kick the ball well enough to ensure that the return the returner was stopped inside the 20 or 25. So no, you know what? Come to think of it, I had one that was kind of sweet. So in Pittsburgh on playing a nighttime primetime game a couple years back. I squibbed one down toward the open end of the stadium, and the returner kind of muffed the ball down there at the goal line. And the timing of the return was all thrown off, and our coverage team was like had surrounded him inside the 5-yard line. And somehow he squeezed out of there, bounced it, and I tackled a guy at the 9-yard line. So typically when your kicker's making tackles, it's at like the 30, 35 yard line, and it's after, or he's not making a tackle and the guy's, you know, running past him like Forrest Gump, like all the way through the end zone and through the tunnel at the other end of the stadium, which is not good. But, you know, every once in a while, like I happen to have a tackle inside the 10 yard line. So I feel like that one's that one's probably pretty good.
What's the worst beating you got after kicking a game winning field goal? Cause like, you know, sometimes we look at those kickers and everybody wants to say congratulations. Did you have one where you go, guys, stop, it hurts?
I mean, yeah, I'm not built like most of my teammates. You know, I'm probably pound for pound like the smallest guy on the team, even though in like regular normal society, if you want to call it that, I'm like a, you know, I'm 6'1", 183. So I'm not like a super little guy by any means, but in the football world, yeah, I am. Let's see, at Texas, when we played Texas A&M on Thanksgiving night, my senior year, kicked the game winner, and kind of started running towards our sideline like this. And then I see like our sideline is just emptying. The entire team is running out toward midfield where we're all at. And Kenny Vaccaro, outstanding professional safety now, an outstanding safety then, he is running full speed with a look in his eye like, I'm taking this guy down. And he horse collar tackles me. I'm at the bottom of a dog pile. And thankfully, I didn't shred both of my knees or anything else for that matter. But I remember like being at the bottom of the pile just in pain. And also very happy that we had just made the game winning kick. But I remember coming up from the pile, just like gasping for air. I had like blood coming out of my nose. And, in a kind of crazy way, you know, like that stuff, those experiences are why you play the game. You know, celebrating with your teammates with absolute reckless abandon is one of the greatest things about playing, you know, playing a team sport and winning in big moments.
It's great to talk to you, and congrats on the success so far. And hopefully you get into the postseason to make some more of those game-winning kicks. But thanks for joining us, Justin, and thanks for playing along, literally playing along with us.
Of course. Yeah. And thanks for having me, Dan.
That's Justin Tucker. He just turned 31. He's going to be kicking for quite some time, and he doesn't miss. I was looking at some numbers here with Justin Tucker. He makes 90% of his field goals. He is 21 of 22 in the playoffs in the last 2 minutes of a fourth quarter or overtime. That would be, and it, you know, he looks up to or admires Adam Vinatieri. You know, when you think of Hall of Fame kickers, and we don't have that many in the Hall of Fame. You know, Morton Anderson just got in, and rightfully so. But Vinatieri's going to go in, and Justin Tucker's going to go in as well. We just need to come up with a nickname for him. He's called like Jay Tuck, like Greg the Leg Zuerlein. Now that's a nickname. It doesn't Jay Tuck. I think somebody said automatic. So instead of automatic, No, this isn't
not you.
Yeah, that no, it's not.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would come up with. That's not acceptable.
Oh, wait a minute here. I got mock. Todd just sent me mock headlines. Do you guys want to get? No, I'll take a break. I'll have you guess. Todd sent me mock headlines, and I'll see if you can guess what the mock headline.
You guys know how to sell it. Oh God! Look what I just found in my email.
Well, what happens is I read the first mock headline, and that's where I go, oh no.
Why?
Let me take a break. Let me take a break. I'm going to take a break. And we'll see if you can guess what the topic is for his mock headline. Todd, I'll let you do.
This is like an opportunity for everyone to change the station, basically. Is what
no,
said.
No.
You don't want to hear this. I'm going to go to break. And, maybe
then,
you'll be
and then next week, Todd does his Christmas holiday sports news.
That would be Wednesday, December 23rd, in less than a week now.
I'm going to give people the option if they're in a place that got hit by the nor'easter. Would you rather go out and shovel snow or listen to Todd's mock headlines?
It's just so unnecessary.
We'll take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I was doing a little research, which we try not to do on this program. The farthest blindfolded American football field goal is 45 yards, achieved by Davis Brief from Hanover, New Hampshire, back in 2018. He has been kicking since fifth grade, and he wiped out the previous record holder, Pat McAfee. Justin Tucker should be able to do that. Like just walking out on the field. Like knock that out pregame. Just go, I'm going to. No, he can't blindfold. And then people say, oh, look at him. He doesn't, he's taking it, or he's so cocky. Here's something I did not know. But doing a little more research here. Since 2015, the Ravens have attempted 212 field goals, including the postseason. On every single one of those attempts, they've had the same snapper, long snapper, same holder, same kicker, Justin Tucker. All right. It's that point of the program where you either love it or you hate it. But I embrace it because it's Todd Fritz. And whatever Todd does, you know I love. I don't like, but I do love. All right, Todd. Let me ask Seton, mock headlines today for Todd Fritz. What do you think the topic is?
Snow.
Snow? McLovin?
I think the names JT Snow and Tyson Fleury are about to be read.
Ooh, maybe for next week. Paulie? Yes.
I thought the same, but just to be different, I'm going to say James Harden.
James Harden, ding, 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 ding. So, nice. Todd, here we go. Todd with mock headline. Do we have mock headline music here? Do we have anything? Yes, Paulie.
Is he going to use between a rock and a hardened place? Because it's, I mean, you can't.
I don't know that, Paul. Let it unfold. I mean, that's the beauty of Todd's mock headlines here.
I just realized that there's exactly eight of them because people are concerned about what he ate recently. So it just worked out that way.
Wow.
That's a shot. And I have no one to talk because I put on a few, which I'm not proud of.
Okay, here we go. Here's Todd with mock headlines.
A wait and see approach to where Harden goes. Spelled W-E-I-G-H-T if you're following along.
Got it.
Wait and see.
Okay.
Strip club sandwiches to blame for sluggish star? Strip club sandwiches.
That's not bad.
No, it's workable. We'll get there. Beard belly. Harden looking soft.
Okay.
Beard belly. You don't like when I do it twice.
I hate it.
Here we go. This is for Paulie. Silas between a rocket and a Harden place. So he guessed that it was Harden as the topic, and he guessed one of the actual headlines.
Okay. Who knew?
Basket case. Will anything make Harden happy? Mm-hmm. He's been a main stage there, but Harden ready to leave Houston.
All right. Portia main to stage. The main stage. Got it. Okay.
Okay. Final two to put you guys out of your misery. James prepared to leap wall for another team.
John Wall. Okay.
Exactly. John Wall just was acquired, and he's ready to get past the Rockets, even with Wall there. And the last one is lap chance. Beard wants opportunity elsewhere.
Okay. I got it. A little strip club stuff.
Serviceable.
Yeah, I got it. All right. So those are mock headlines.
More like strip club sandwiches to blame for.
But you're saving the good stuff for next Wednesday.
For next Wednesday. Yeah. For players from and coaches from like 1906 to 1977.
All right. Eli in California. Hi, Eli. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Dan?
Good, sir.
How you guys doing back there at 5'8", COVID 180? Man, I just want to also weigh in on the James Harden issue. You guys were talking about the Heat and how that's structured out there, but I'm thinking with somebody as strong-minded as Pat Riley, as Spoelstra, you know, those two guys can show him how to be a star, how to be structured, how to win. Because they've done it before, time and time again.
But Eli, if he doesn't know at this age and this stage of his career, he's never going to know. He should have learned that as a sixth man in Oklahoma City. Then he goes to Houston, he has his own team, gets to dictate everything, and doesn't act like a leader. Plays hard during the regular season. Can't deny that. But if he goes to another team, he's going to somebody else's team. Final hour coming up, we'll check in with the Alabama head coach, Nick Saban.